Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 70 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell. Remember when we first started and I go, our second one, it's our third one, it's our fourth one. I quit doing that.
I thought you would never end.
I know.
Isn't it amazing? This is episode number 16.
Well,
actually, number 17. I was thinking of 17. That was the episode we had Keith Brokaw.
That's right.
From the Marines, a former Marine, and over at the gym that we attended at the time. He was a great interview, wasn't he?
He was wonderful. They've all been great.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great interviews on Wrinkled Not Dead. And wrinklednotdead.com is where anything to do with the podcast it's found. It's our blog, and we try to keep up with it as well as we can, but we had to bring on an expert today to talk about some things, but we'll get to that in a second. We've been married almost 34 years now, and we do radio and TV advertising and narration and live presentation, pretty much anything to do with standing up in front of a camera or using your voice, right?
Absolutely. We've been in business ourselves as Michael Bell Productions since 1989, and we had to move along with the times, and part of that was creating this podcast.
That's correct, and we're very proud of it. And a major topic today is going to be create your own blog and podcast. Now, before you start yawning or turning us off, we have had a lot of people ask about this, and even though it's not going to be as broad an appeal as, say, Fear of Flying, what's great about it is that there's going to be some cool things from a very special guest named Erica Stolman. And she is an influencer, a blogger, a fashionista, but we have such great things to hear from her because she is also a great, tremendous character.
Yeah, and she started early, and the thing that I want to start this Create Your Own Blog and Podcast is you just need one person to read or listen, get your message, and pass it on to someone else, and you've doubled your audience.
A fellow named Robert Garish said that. We'll have to look up who he is because he's right. You know, I guess we've done a little better than that right now, but gee, that's a great place and a fundamental place to start. One of our benchmarks in our show, and here in episode number 70, we're not going to give up on it, is Rose and Thorn. And generally, I start with the Rose and Thorn. Do you mind if I continue that
tradition?
Well,
let's tell first listeners, Rose is when something good happened in the week, and a Thorn, obviously, is when something bad happened. But the Thorn, we always try to tell people how we got out of it and made sort of lemonade out of lemons.
That's right. I just forgot that there are some people who are listening for the first time and don't know what the heck is he talking about, a Rose and Thorn. Okay. So anyway, my Rose is the follow-up on last week's. So if you're a first-time listener, you're out of luck. Go back and listen to episode 69. This is a follow-up on Helen Woodward, which is like a local specialty animal hospital and care facility and boarding place, but it's a bunch of really wonderful people there who are very philanthropic in their approach to taking care of animals. They heard about what was going on in Houston, and we're well along the line on that one now with Irma, but nonetheless, about the dogs that were in peril, the cats and all of the animals, and they sent an advance team out there to collect as many of them as they could. And the idea was to return them to Helen Woodward Center here in San Diego. Well, obvious logistics problem. And who stepped in? Southwest Airlines. And we follow up on this now. Checked it out. Southwest basically emptied out an aircraft and here put all the animals, about 80-some animals on there, with the advance team from Helen Woodward and brought them back. And I think that there are some wonderful photographs. There's a great shot of the pilot holding this dog when the little dog's got his head underneath the guy's chin. And I just thought, there is a Rose, because these folks were great. And I'm sure the folks in Houston appreciated their efforts. And now my Thorn, I don't have a right to have a Thorn. There's just too many things going on out there. I have no Thorn.
Well, that's what brings me to my Thorn.
Okay.
I'll start with my Thorn.
All right.
And that is all the natural disasters that are worldwide. It's just incredible with the earthquake in Mexico and the hurricanes that are back in the east with a big one, Irma, that's coming up on to
Florida. And more following that.
And the fires in Oregon and Wyoming. And
California.
And California.
Even north of us. We're in San Diego, but there's one just behind Burbank, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's just,
they're everywhere.
It's just been incredible. So that is my thorn. I just keep thinking, oh my gosh. And I asked my mom, who's 95, we were talking earlier today about that, and she said, I think that this happened all the time. It's just we didn't hear about it because we didn't have social media. We didn't have television. And so I think this is just sort of part of the world, but or the earth. But yeah, it's just overwhelming. So my rose.
Yeah.
The rose we walked, finally, after being sick, and then catching up with work and putting our head down and promoting and doing what we have to do, walked on the beach. But we went to Dog Beach in Del Mar.
In Del Mar, Dog
and
Beach.
And it was amazing to see these dogs running in the water, carefree, going after balls and sticks and swimming and jumping in the sand.
Now, you don't only see water dogs. Because who did we come across?
A Chiweenie.
A Chiweenie.
So if you follow tuna... Tuna melt.
Oh, you love tuna.
I know. Tuna melts my heart. Is a big.
It's big.
Is a dog that is online, and this dog was rescued, was going to be in a, was in a kill shelter, and now is
he looks
an internet
a little
star.
Unusual.
He's gorgeous. I love him. But we
anyway,
saw a Chiweenie.
Chiweenie.
The cutest little Chiweenie puppy that was digging. All these dogs are running around. And Mike said, yeah, but look at that little one over there. He's busy working. And he was digging, and he was trying to find rocks. And the rocks were the size of his head.
I know. They said they bring him down to the beach to wear him out because he's got so much energy.
It was so nice just to see the freedom and... Yeah. Devil may care, abandonment, whatever you want to say, with these beautiful dogs.
And there's nothing like walking on the beach to make your feet feel good with the sand on them.
Yeah.
You're just like getting a massage.
Oh, it was great.
It was great. Just Jen's great. Health Minute.
I have a health
minute. This is a health minute where you take
Get
a minute.
Get this. When two people kiss, they exchange between 10 million to 1 billion bacteria.
The mind reels.
So you know what that says? If you kiss somebody... You love them or not love them. I don't know.
Or you're trying to kill them.
You trust them with your bacteria. Let's put it that way.
This one thing occurs to me before. I know it's a short segment, but nonetheless. Okay, there's the kiss with the 10 million bacteria. What the heck is going on with the person kissing the 1 billion?
Well, it's probably somebody who's sick.
Duh.
Now, it's not to say don't kiss, but it's to say.
No, I know. Just. Yeah,
I thought it was interesting.
It is. It's a health minute, all right. But hey, we got fun facts as well. In 2015, more people were killed from injuries caused by taking selfies than by shark attacks. So where is the lesson here?
Well, you got to be careful. You've seen all those videos of people walking into manholes, open manholes, because they're doing selfies.
Falling off cliffs.
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, embrace social media, but be careful.
Yeah, I know. So it is one of those fun facts. And you have one, too.
I have a great one. I thought it was so funny. Okay, listen closely. It's impossible to say, good eye, mate, without sounding Australian. Okay, let me say it again. It's good I might. So good, E-Y-E, might, M-I-G-H-T. Say it. Good I might.
Good I might.
You got to say it fast.
I know.
And it sounds like good I might.
That's a cheesy.
It sounds like good day, mate.
Where did you find something this
cheesy? I don't
know.
I love it. So good I might.
All right.
Now I can speak Australian. I can have an Australian accent.
Okay, for about 8 seconds or 6 seconds right there. Okay, let's introduce... One of the most interesting characters we've ever met, truly. We've known her for many years now. She's a very dear and close friend of our goddaughter, Lauren Everts. And there's a lot of references to Lauren in this interview. But Erica is, she has a unique story. I'm just going to let her tell her. She's a blogger, of course. She has a company called Blog Do. Blog, B-L-O-B-L-O-G, Do, D-O-O, like voodoo.
Like voodoo, yeah.
Yes, okay. And also a terrific and very successful blog called Fashion Lush.
And she's been one of the beginning. I mean, she started a long
time
ago.
Well, she'll tell you the history about this, but just listen to a free spirit.
Welcome, Erica, to our show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh,
we wanted to have you for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. It's an honor.
No, you're a great blogger. You actually were an inspiration to us when we first got going. And you may not even remember this, but this is a couple of years ago. You really helped us get into podcasting and blogging. And I think you did actually a lot of the setup for the blog.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I do remember. Of course I remember.
Well, it was...
Well, you're busy with other clients.
No
so
kidding, yeah.
I'm picking up Bitsy. Okay, I want to ask you our first question.
Okay.
Kind of like where you were born and how this all came about.
Okay. Well, my name is Erica Stolman, and I am the blogger behind Fashion Lush. I also co-own a company called Blogdo with your guys' godchild, Lauren.
That's BLOGDOO.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like voodoo for blogs.
Voodoo for blogs. Well, there it is. That's so people should know
Blogdo.
That. Would yep. still be on our blog. Anyway.
Yeah. Yes. So that is kind of what I do. Where I was born, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee,
oh,
which
wow.
a lot of people don't know. And I lived there until I was about 8 years old. And my dad was actually, he worked for M&M Mars and he sold candy to the military. And so it was either Texas or California because uh-huh. those were the two big bases. So he chose California and we moved our whole family out here. I love California. I could never, ever, ever leave. I don't think I could ever leave. So I did go to school in Long Beach. I got my degree in fashion merchandising and I did a minor in textiles. And I was very set on working in the action sports industry, like women's fashion and action sports. And I worked at the desk job and I hated it. Like I was asleep at my desk. I was the worst employee. I should have been fired like the day I started. I was late every day. I was like drinking 5-hour energies, which I can't even handle coffee. I'm not a morning person. So a 9-to-5 job was not for me.
Right.
But I stuck it out because my parents are, I mean, to start, they were very traditional. They're very like 4 years of college and you get the desk job and then you know, they were very traditional in that sense. They're creative people, but they, you know, followed a routine in their lives and expected the same from me. So I tried it. And then, yeah, I started my blog in college and it was like the I didn't start it like Lauren started it from a professional aspect. I tell everyone I think that's how you should do it now. I started it purely hobby. The blog. So I started it in college on a platform called Blogger, which I don't even think that's around anymore. Mm-hmm. And the real reason I started my blog was because I saved images on my desktop of my computer. So many images of things that I thought were inspiring. Like at the time, it was like Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen. I loved the shoes. I loved the outfit. I loved the makeup. It was almost like a collage, but like on my desktop. And I was like, I'm running out of space on my computer. I got to put these somewhere. Mm-hmm. I've got to put these images somewhere. So I just started a blog and I would upload images, but like, I didn't know what I was doing. I would talk about what I liked about the image. Like, oh, I love this outfit. Like, look at this, look at that. There was no photos of myself. No photos. I didn't know what I was doing. And there was no bloggers to look to at the time.
You're right. Right.
I remember there was one blogger I liked. Her name was Fashion Toast and Rumi Neely. And she's still a huge blogger to this day. But like she was posting photos of herself and I wasn't there yet. Like, so I kind of just made it an inspiration board. It's funny because when Lauren and I were in high school, we did these diaries, which were basically we would do exactly what I was doing.
She told me about these.
We would do physical versions. So to me, starting the blog was an extension of, we called it DT. So weird. But it was the weirdest thing. But we were obsessed. And while our friends went out to lunch, Lauren and I would sit in the hallway in high school and make our little, basically, paper blogs.
Wow.
And we both still have them. And they are unbelievable. I mean, I looked at mine the other day. Unbelievable. It was just, I mean, not to date myself, but in high school, blogs, computers, like Lauren and I didn't do that. We literally cut and pasted. We had our magazines and those were our blogs. And then when I went to college and I started to get into computers more and more and more, I've always loved computers since I was 6 years old. I've loved computers. But when I went to college and like it was me and my laptop at night when I was done doing my schoolwork, is I just put it all on the blog and it was like my virtual inspiration board. So that's how my blog started, and it was called Fashion Lush, and
still is.
Still is.
And very successful.
Yeah. Well, it's gotten there. It's taken a lot of work, but...
Yeah, but you work hard at it.
I work a lot on it.
You really do.
I do work a lot on it, probably more than I should. I should find a better balance. I'm obsessed with it. I love being on the computer.
It's your passion.
I love working on my blog. It's my favorite thing. It was actually Lauren who... I owe a lot to my blogging career because when I got laid off from that job, I called her. I wasn't upset. Like, I felt so bad because when I got laid off, everyone was crying. It was a huge layoff and people were crying and they lost their jobs. And I'm sitting there going, thank God, I don't have to wake up at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
You had to get laid off to get out
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a quitter. Guilty. I wasn't a quitter. I was like, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep up this job. I was doing social media. Uh-huh. And actually, what I was doing is I played the role of someone named Cheap Sally.
Cheap Sally?
Her name was Cheap Sally, and the company was basically a coupon site. But the idea behind it was Cheap Sally and her husband, Brawny Brad, and their kids. They made it like a persona of a family who saves money. And I was the role of Cheap Sally and Brawny Brad. And I had to play them on social media. And so as much as I hated being up that early, it was fun. And I learned about social media.
Wow.
A lot about social media.
Now, some of our listeners are going to say, what does she mean when you were doing this on social media? What actually?
So I was just, I was interacting as this Cheap Sally character with a lot of mommy bloggers.
Okay.
Mom bloggers are couponers. So I was basically in a different arena of the blog world. I wasn't really doing fashion blogging what I'm doing now, but I was seeing how mom bloggers do it, seeing a little bit more of an example of what successful blogs look like, and then I was learning how to do social media from the other side, a business perspective. Mm-hmm. So that was really helpful. And then on my lunch breaks, I would take one of my coworkers, whoever I could find, and I would say, take photos of my outfit today. Just like, and they weren't great.
Like
photos.
With their phone?
Yeah, with your phone. Okay. Or I would bring a camera and I would say, I'll buy you lunch if you take photos.
Love
and
it.
So they would take photos and then I would get home and I would be up till 1-2 in the morning editing the photos, posting on my blog. And that's when I started bringing more of my own content, like creating actual content. I also had a coworker who could braid hair. So I would make her do hair things and I would take photos and I would post those on my blog. And this was all just on my lunch break because I get so many questions from people like, how do you, before your blog is taken off and it's your income, you have to have another source of income.
Exactly.
Which right. I agree. So how do you do both? People ask me how you do both. Well, you sacrifice a social life. You've got to. Because it's a full-time job. I would get off work. Like Lauren, when she was bartending at Delicia, mm-hmm. she was doing it in the bathroom, typing her blog posts.
I know. And come home at night and she would be working
still
in the room
it.
All night long.
All night long.
Uh-huh.
And that's really, I mean, that's what it takes to do it. But then I was saying, when I got laid off, they called us in the room. Cheap Sally was no longer. And there was a lot of people just so bummed. And I was just, I said to Mike, I said, I was just like, yes.
Now you can focus.
I was so happy. And I called Lauren and I was like, I don't really know what I'm going to do about money. But she was like, no, this is a blessing. This is a blessing.
Aww.
She
That's
was like,
so nice.
Yeah. She was like, take 6 months and like, whatever you got to do, give away clothes, sell clothes to the resale shop, you know, ask your parents to lend you money if they can, scrounge it up, odd jobs, sell stuff on Etsy. Just give it 6 months. And if 6 months your blog doesn't take off, then go back to the working world. Because I honestly thought, okay, well, now I got to find another job. Mm-hmm. That was what I first, because that's how I was kind of brought up. It's
we
like
were
you
all
lose
work.
A job,
yeah.
you get another right. one. You don't do things like on your own and take a risk. Mm-hmm. So Lauren was like, no, you got to do it. You got to try. Try it. And at this point, the Skinny Confidential was being, I was seeing her run it like a business.
Yeah.
And so that was an example for me. Like it was my best friend. So it was very close. And
right.
I was like, I could do that. Like I could run this like a business. And so I took it more seriously. I put so much time into it. And I started with a niche. Is that how you say
it? Yeah, yeah.
No, you're
niche.
Right.
A niche of DIY projects.
Right.
I was like, I need to stand out.
Yeah.
So at DIY projects, if you're a DIY blogger out there, it's very time consuming. The most time consuming blog you could do because you have to be doing projects all the time.
Step by step.
Doing it yourself isn't easy.
It's not easy. And it's fun, but, and I loved DIY in the beginning. I have branched a little bit away from it because it's not as much my passion anymore as other things. But in the beginning, that's what I loved. And I did some DIYs that, luckily for me, got a lot of traction. The thing with DIY posts is they have a lot of viral potential. So it was a good place for me to start because they just, I mean, if you're a DIY blogger, there's so, like, if you come up with new ideas, that's the stuff that goes on Pinterest like crazy. The
okay.
DIYs, people just pin and pin and pin. So I did a few interesting DIYs that really catapulted me. And after that, I was like, I think I can just stick with this. And I did. And it's taken a while. It hasn't been an easy journey. And I see a lot of bloggers that, I posted about this the other day on the blog, that I actually posted about today because I did a Ask Me Anything, and a lot of people were like, how'd you get to your first 1,000 followers? How long did it take to get to your first 10,000 followers?
Yeah.
And I've seen bloggers.
How do you do that?
You know, I will say that I feel like I've had a slower progression, but and I can't remember how long it took me to get to my first 1,000, but it was just creating quality content consistently, putting stuff out. I mean, on Instagram, for example, you've got to provide value. You can't just post like a picture of my boxed water and just like an emoji and expect people to like it. You need to be providing people with content. And it's funny because so much of this stuff I was taught by Lauren. She really mentored me into like running it. I didn't have a very smart, like, business savvy person behind me before her. Mm-hmm. And so she was doing this entrepreneur thing, and I didn't have anyone who kind of showed me that. I mean, my parents worked in the corporate world. That's just what
sure.
I knew.
Yeah.
So she pushed me in the direction and explained to me, like, you know, be sure to provide value, be sure to not post. So I really just took my Instagram and I connected with people. I think that's really important, is I actually really like to talk to my readers. I try to comment back to everybody. And when you're just starting, you've got to network on social media in the sense that, like, you've got to put yourself out there. You can't just post a picture, a caption, and then be done with your day. You need to give back what you want. Mm-hmm. So if you want followers, you got to follow people. And if you want more, you know, comments, likes, you've got to be out there interacting with other people, or else, you know, you're not going to get your name out there. Like, I've seen so many bloggers, like, commenting, like, oh, I've seen her comment on this person, that person, this person. Who is she? And then I click.
Got
you. Because I see she's in my brain because she's commenting on so many people. So I'm seeing her and I'm like, I like what she's doing. She's getting out there and I want to follow her now.
If I learned something just now, it's that for our listeners who may be a little older, some of them are, but anyway, you need to have you have to be challenged with a terrific idea. You have to be excited about doing that.
Yes.
And you have to be aggressive about getting involved with the blog or the podcast, either one.
Yes. And with other bloggers and other podcasts.
Yes. Yeah.
Correct?
Which is what you guys are doing right now, obviously. You're bringing
exactly.
people on because it's, you know. Because
of your interest.
Yeah. And then, you know, people will hear about me, and then, like, maybe I'll be one of your listeners will go to my Instagram and see someone who commented and follow them, because that girl, you know. So it's just putting yourself out there, which is something I'm not good at typically. I'm very good at it behind the computer.
Yeah.
So expectations out there for everybody is that, hey, this isn't going to happen overnight. You're not likely to have hundreds of thousands of people following you overnight. You can hear from what Erica is saying is that this is a progression. You learn as you go, because obviously when you're starting when you're one of the pioneers of this kind of stuff, you're making the rules as you go yourself.
Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's like, there aren't rules.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I feel like the less rules that you follow, like, the only rule you should have is to just do you and be you in the blogger's world. Because if there's anything I realize is there's so many bloggers out there, and I've spent so many years, and this has hindered me so much, trying to be like this blogger because she appeals to the Midwest, which is a huge audience I wish I could have. But I really want to be edgy, so I'm going to try to be like this blogger because I like the audience that she has and the brands that she works with. Or, you know, this is working for this girl, maybe I should try that. None of those things ever worked for me, and it hindered me. And the second that I was like, you know what, I'm just going to be exactly 100% me, which was hard because I didn't know if people would accept it, but that's what's been the best thing that's happened for my blog, is not trying, because it's human nature. You see someone doing something right and you're like, okay, well, I can do that. But if that's not true to who you are, A, it's not going to work. B, someone else is already doing it. So, like, don't. Yeah. Like, you know, it's not going to – how are you going to stand out? Yes, it worked for them. But it's not going to work for everybody. And if that's – you know, so that's the biggest thing, is that everyone's got their thing. And I think – I mean, this could sound overwhelming to your audience maybe, because it sounds like it takes a lot of work. But if you're passionate about it, it really will not be work.
Yeah.
It's true. Now tell me, if, like, let's say, you know, you said you want your mom, who's fabulous, and she's going to be on the show because she is so interesting. You said you'd like her to start a blog.
Yes.
And or a podcast. So if you're talking to your mom, or you're talking to older people, and they, you know, let's say they used to work like your mom did in radio, and then sort of the radio has kind of gone by the wayside, like our advertising has. So we had to look for a new avenue. What would you say to somebody my age just starting out, and I say, I've got a great idea, where do I start?
I mean, that's such a good question because that's what my mom asks me. Yeah. And this world is, I love her to death, incredibly overwhelming for her. I mean, she worked in sales her whole life, and she's retired now, but there's been times where she thought about going back to sales, but the sales world is different.
Exactly.
None of it's the same.
No.
I mean, she went to school for graphic design, and when I show her how I do graphic design, I mean, they didn't have computers. I don't understand how they did graphic design. I still don't get it. Like, she tries to explain it to me, and I'm like, I don't get it. So trying to explain to her this world is very confusing. My advice to her and to anybody is, the first thing I told my mom is you need to go to the Apple store and have them show you how to like use every aspect of your phone and your computer.
That's fantastic.
Set up a Genius Bar appointment and say, listen, I want to get on social media. I want to understand it. I mean, they'll do it. Who else is going to do it? You take your Apple computer there. And I told her, I said, set up a meeting. Say you want to know how to make bookmarks and everything you need to do on a computer to be like fully functioning. First of all, do it again with your iPhone because she's got to learn how to use Snapchat, Instagram. And I've got her on it. Or if you've got children, grandchildren, whoever, make them sit down and teach you.
Oh, good idea.
And I did it with her. I showed her exactly how to do it. I still have to remind her every time how to do her stories on Instagram.
That's okay.
Yeah, and sometimes she's got the camera facing the wrong way. But that's also, to me, incredibly charming, and I love it. I love it that she kind of doesn't know. It's how social media should be.
I agree.
Is that she's not faking it.
I agree.
She's completely herself because she doesn't 100% understand the world of it. So she's being real, which I love. Starting a podcast, I mean, we've knocked around the idea. And like the thing I told her to do is to hire someone like Taylor or a sound guy to come to your house and set you up.
Yeah.
Tell you what you need, set you up, show you how to work it. And that's really it. Other than that, I mean, when her podcast starts, which could happen, could not happen, we'll see. She's hilarious. She's so funny. Whatever direction she goes with this, I mean, she'll always have me to kind of help her.
Yeah, and Lauren.
And I think that if you're going to the blog world, get your grandchildren, children, whoever, at whatever age you are, to help you. There's a fashion blogger, and I wish I could remember what her name is, but she's probably, I think they said 72.
I saw her. She's the gray-haired lady.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Yes.
She's gorgeous.
And she just started not that long ago.
Doing great on social media.
She's 72?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the age is
She's older. Yeah, she's at least in her middle to late 60s.
Well, good for
she's
her.
Beautiful. And she just started.
And her style is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, she's doing it. She's doing the social media thing. I love it. Have you guys ever seen Batty Winkle, too?
No.
Okay, Batty Winkle. She's like Miley.
Jen's writing this down.
Yes, I am.
She's Miley Cyrus's. Let me show you guys. She's Miley Cyrus's muse. And she's probably in her 80s.
So there's hope for everybody at
and
all
she
ages.
She has 3.2 million followers.
Get
out of here.
This is her. You guys have to see her.
Oh, my gosh. I know
she's
you guys
Miley
can't
Cyrus's
see this.
But look up.
She looks like the ladies from, remember the Golden Years?
Golden Girls?
Golden Girls.
Oh my gosh.
This
I love
is what
the
she
Golden
looks
Girls.
Like. And she has so many followers. So, guys, girls, women, older,
look.
Young, you can
and,
do
but
it.
But then she, I mean, she's in her bathing suit with red lens sunglasses.
No, I think, will you pull up a picture of Helen Mirren? No,
honest to God.
She's amazing.
Oh my God,
2
you're
million.
Right. Oh my
God. But you
goodness.
Know what you're telling our listeners? It's never too late.
It's never too late. Miley Cyrus is obsessed with her. Miley Cyrus brings her to her concerts. And she just started Instagramming. And what I read, I believe I read in an article about her in some Vice or some very cool magazine, that her granddaughter or one of her grandchildren started helping her. And that now she has a team running her account because she's gotten so big.
That is amazing.
So I'm just telling our listeners that, you know, if you're getting anything out of this except raw excitement, that's where you need to be in order to do what she does.
Yeah.
You can hear this woman, Erica, it's like she's on fire. I looked at the I looked at her levels when we started recording and where they are now, and it's like jumping through this.
My voice.
No, it's fantastic. Because you get into it.
Yeah.
This
I
is what's
it.
Great because, but, and people have come, you know, to me at various times along the line since we've got going and say, well, I'd like to do that. And I thought, dude, you're not going to do anything with it because I don't see it in your eyes. I do not see the excitement there.
You can tell.
What? What are you going to do? You're going to do this every day like Erica does?
Yeah.
Are you going to do how many times do you post, by the way?
I post. Okay, I also just did a blog post about this. I used to be crazy about posting, like almost an OCD tick. Like if I don't get a blog post up, everyone's going to leave and not follow my blog. What am I going to do? And then my content was watered down because I was just trying to get stuff up. So I have recently knocked it down to 4 days a week, which is still a lot.
Yes.
Which is a lot of content. But that's better than the 5 or the 6. And I actually have learned that, A, you can spend more time creating really good content. B, I'm working with Jordan Bostic on SEO, and she's taught me that 250 words or less could actually,
SEO?
Search engine optimization. So I'm not really a master in that, but it's basically getting you on Google results. So if somebody searches, let's see, what am I wearing today? Fur loafers. I'd hope that my SEO is set up in the way, which you guys can put Jordan's information because she's going to be doing this as a business, and she's great at SEO. Set it up as in a way where if someone Googles
those
slides that I show up and they get directed
to
my
site.
Yes,
yes.
So I don't understand the ins and outs of it, but I do know 250 words, it's a penalty. It's a mark. It'll take you down a little. So blogging less with more content is not only good for your SEO, it provides your readers with more value. It provides you more time to make it great, and then also do other things for your brand. So I don't recommend breaking your neck over posting every day, actually. And also, it's good when if you write a great piece of content, like today, I didn't ask me anything on my blog, and that's like something I'm super excited about. I don't want it to get flooded out with 3 other posts on the weekend, so it's no longer on the first page.
Understood.
I want that to have some time to shine.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really, I mean, if you posted 3 days a week, that would be great. If you did like 3 content pieces a week, that would be impressive and great. I stack a lot of content, which is actually something my boyfriend told me to do because I was on vacation. I was so stressed because I was blogging in the moment. That was my thing for a while. I want to be in the moment, which is great, but stacked content's very helpful. Mm-hmm. So I shoot things in the week. Like, for example, we got the Ninja coffee bar. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's the most amazing coffee machine. But I'm going to shoot my boyfriend and the way he does it, because people have asked me, how does he make the coffee look so pretty? He's like a barista. Is that a barista?
Barista.
A barista, but for a boy.
Is it barista?
I don't know, I guess.
I don't know. Well, you maybe created a term that will live forever. Yeah. Yes.
Remember Seinfeld, the bra and the bro?
Yeah, the bra and the
bro. It's a Seinfeld thing.
No, I love Seinfeld.
She's
I know everything about Seinfeld.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. My dad loved Seinfeld growing up, so that's all I watched.
So, like, we do a podcast once a week, and we do a blog to kind of support that podcast only once a week.
Yeah.
And that's kind of as much as we can do right now because we have to make money from other sources.
Of
so
course.
That would be okay as well.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Absolutely.
But what I noticed with podcasting is that you need to keep up once a week because I got sick with pneumonia a little while ago, and we missed 1 week and we dropped.
Yeah.
Like a stone.
But, is it okay? Do you follow how active your do you follow your followers? the numbers game, do you play that a lot?
Yeah, of course. I mean, who doesn't?
You can't help but do
it. You can't help it, and it's horrible.
Well, I'm
scary.
Only saying this because you brought up Lauren, who could care a fig whether or not what's going on out there. She just assumes the best possible result,
of course.
Which is cool, which is great.
I mean,
but
Lauren's
us, we're focused. We're number 3. Yeah, we're gonna. But who's ahead of us? Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Susan Sly is ahead of us. But so what? It's not a competition here.
Yeah, comparing yourself in this world, it's gonna happen, because what it's done with blogging and podcasting and everything is you are opened up to everybody's lives. You see it.
Yeah.
They make it look beautiful, and you can't help but see, well, look what they're doing. Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Is it because of comparing yourself? Is it because of this? And I swear, I do it every day. I think the reason Lauren is so incredibly successful is because she doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't compare. Mm-mm. And it's a skill. It's something that, like, I'm still learning not to do. You can't help it, because when you see, for me, a blogger who, oh, she's super cute. Mm-hmm. I love her style. She's got, you know, 40,000 followers. That's awesome. And then 3 months later, she's got 100,000, or 4 months later, she's got two, whatever it is. You're like, shoot, she just surpassed me, like, big time. What am I doing wrong? Why? Mm-hmm. What am I doing wrong? That's happens to me every day. That happens in the podcast world. You can't help but compare yourself, because everyone's putting it all out there for you to see.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean,
they're as passionate as you are.
They are. I mean, everyone's in it and everyone's passionate. And I think the most asked question I get is, how do I start when there's so many?
True.
There's so many. And again, with Lauren, the one thing she taught me that will forever stick with me is, you want to be, let me see if I can get this right, a big fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
So find what you're good at, find what you're passionate about, stop worrying what everyone else is doing and what's working for everyone else, and hone in on what you're really good at. And for me in the beginning, that was the DIYs.
Yeah.
You know, for you guys, it's clearly podcasting, because you have, I mean, you guys were made for this, kind of, with what you've been doing your whole life. But obviously it's different than what you've been doing your whole life.
Exactly.
It's different. It's a new realm of the same thing.
And that's why doing a blog for us is so difficult, because that's completely different.
Yeah,
that's, you know,
yes,
that was
is.
Kind of what we would call print in those
days.
And we did all the
we
production
did the
and the audio.
Yeah, right.
So I guess the bottom line is that for our listeners, is that when you start a blog or a podcast, when you're older, don't be intimidated by the youth.
No, and I really think you need to utilize, whether it's a grandchild or a child, you taught them their whole lives. Turn that around and make them teach you.
Love it.
You know?
I love that.
Like, I, there is a point in your life as children that you not only even out with your parents, but then, like, you can, you know, at this point, it's really a blessing to me when I can get the patience together to teach my parents how this world is working, because they taught me everything I knew how to be a functioning, like, to be a functioning part of society. You know, everything I needed growing up, the building blocks of my life. It's fun to turn the tables and get to show them how to, you know, advance with the rest of the world.
I love it. I got a final question for you.
Okay.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, gosh. I've always had a weird time, like, seeing myself in the future. It's a weird thing. But I would hope, like, healthy, happy with my family. Maybe a family of my own, maybe. And I would hope to have turned Fashionless into a brand and have a product.
I love it.
Of some sort. I want a product. I'm still, you know, I'm still putting the testers out. What's going to be the best for me? I want to go into business with my mom on it, whatever it is. I want her involved.
That's what I love 100%. About it. Tell our listeners how, if they want to start a blog, and can they come to your company blog too?
Yes, absolutely.
So could you give a little bit of information? And then we're also, everyone, we're going to post it on wrinklednotdead.com on our blog.
Yes.
So how do people get it?
Okay. So you can find me on fashionlush.com or Instagram at fashionlush. And if you are interested in starting a blog, you go to @blogdo on Instagram.
Okay.
You can find our email. And you can contact us that way, and we will give you all the information. And it's a super easy, fun process. We make it really fun, and we do all the work for you, so you really don't have to do much.
Yeah, and you do incredible work. So anybody listening, if you want some help, please go to BlogDo. And remember, go to WrinkledNotDead.com, and you'll find every way you can find Erica.
Perfect.
So, Erica, thank you so much
for
being on our show.
You're so wonderful.
We got to have your mom next time.
Yes, we do.
That's going to be a real hoot.
All right. Love you.
Love you. That was so fun.
Okay, there you go. There's a free spirit person with a lot of knowledge and experience, and very useful tips if you're interested in getting into blogging.
And afterwards, she told us the most amazing story.
I know. Should have kept rolling on
this. I know. Her grandfather invented the Dove Bar.
I know.
You know that delicious ice cream bar that we have? The Dove Bar. And he continued to work and invent and do new things well into his 80s. And remember, she told us about the olive press?
Well, they lived a little in Northern California, yes. And they had olive groves, and so they had this huge olive press, and he decided to continue on with that stuff. Forget this Italian olive oil. I've got olive oil from California.
Yeah, and he was an entrepreneur. He continued to do new things.
Philanthropist.
And he also reached out to the community and helped the community in great detail. So we're going to have Erica and her mom on.
I know.
To talk about this incredible heritage that they come from, and I can see why Erica is such a good blogger, because she gets that from her granddad.
Well, you should see her in an interview. Her eyes like bug out.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's so excited.
And she's so passionate about it.
I know, that's what it's all about. It truly is. Now, from our perspective, because I'm going to admit right here. I think I do a lot of this stuff on the blog part, and I'm crappy.
Well, you're okay with it, but our strength has always been audio.
That's right.
And that's why we naturally went into podcasting.
That kind of performance stuff appeals to us more than the typey-typey and the put of the photograph on the this or the that. That's why we were in broadcast advertising, and Ted Reed, our old pal, was in print advertising.
Correct.
He's a genius that way.
Yeah.
Does great. Okay, but now podcasting. Now here's our 70th episode. What have we learned? And if you want to start a podcast, what should you learn before and during the process of getting involved? All right. Number one, what would it be, Jen?
Inspiration.
All right.
Honesty, realness, credibility. Remember, everybody, that the podcast can live forever. We pay to keep our podcast. We bought bandwidth.
Yep.
And so that podcast will stay there forever. People can go back
to
the first podcast or to the 70th podcast. So for advertisers, your spot can be on there. Your advertisement can be out there for forever.
Okay. What I was going to do, I tried desperately to get an acronym for this, and I failed because I had to keep adding elements. But I'm going to list them, and then we'll just go back and just sort of fill in the blanks on, you know, just like you did with the realness and credibility and stuff. So their inspiration was the number one element. After that was equipment. After that is preparation, performance, publishing, promoting, and consistency. In our view, those are the key points. Those are the headlines. And like Jen said, inspiration is that why are you doing this? I mean, we're doing this because we want to help stay relevant after 50, and we want to take our listeners along that journey. It doesn't mean that you have to be 50 or more to listen to us. Gosh, you'll learn things about from our podcast that may translate to your parents' experience or your grandparents' experience, and vice versa. You may find something you're listening to and then say, my kids should know about this. Well, what do you want to talk about?
We have young listeners. Like, we have a wonderful listener who's been with us for a long time, your moment of Jen.
Yeah.
And she's hi there. She has a wonderful podcast and a great blog, and we want to have her on the show as well. Mm-hmm. So we do have many young listeners, because younger people listen to podcasts.
Oh, by the way, on that, when Jen talks about we pay to keep all of those episodes current, well, yeah, that's called storage, and you have to buy a lot of it. And the bandwidth part is to make sure that you can reach all the people that you want. Because remember, as soon as you launch a podcast with your inspired idea, that it now goes worldwide. And we have listeners in, I don't know, what is it, 16, 18 countries?
Oh, everywhere.
Countries?
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere. Okay. Mm-hmm. So next, equipment. And I'll take this because it's just so... All right. You need a decent mic. What we've transitioned to, we used to have a microphone called a Blue Yeti. That looks like a big old bullet. Looks like it's from the 40s, 1940s or something. Works great. Works fantastic. But now we have changed to headset microphones, different type of recording equipment altogether. This is transitional stuff. You just need a decent mic. These are the elements. Decent mic, a couple of headsets, and you can get free software online to do this. I use a program called Audacity because I'm not a genius recording guy, and this is simple enough yet sophisticated enough to do the job. And so equipment is number two.
And you're going to put this in more detail on our blog.
Yeah,
LinkleNotDead.com, correct?
I will.
So people don't have to remember this or be writing it down.
Nah.
Okay, good.
Nah. Who wants to do that?
Big one, preparation.
Oh, yeah.
Episode content takes thought and time. I mean, I think, Mike, we work on this throughout the week.
Every day.
Every day. We're writing things down and saying, that would be good for a time off. That would be good for this. Oh, this happened. Let's write that down.
Remember when could be this. And then we toss things out, too.
We do.
Now, that stinks. After a day, we have a rule. We have a rule.
24 hours.
We write it down all the time. We're looking at our notes right now. And because we don't want to forget anything because we're wrinkled, not dead. So, but anyway, this document is the lifeblood of our show. And we make sure that it stays in the order that we want. And so, you really can knock these things out if you choose, lying on your bed with a microphone and just yap and hope that things will work out. But in our view, as real, card-carrying professionals over the years, this is the way to make sure that your content stays fresh and accurate.
And that's why we have many bullet points. We have time off. We have rose and thorn. We want to have something for everybody.
Right.
You come away with at least one thing that you go, man, I didn't know that. Or, gee, that helped me. Or, I feel better about that.
Right. So if you're not absolutely riveted to the idea of producing a blog or a podcast, then at least there's going to be some fun stuff
something.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that you will enjoy. Next, performance. We think, now this is a ferocious argument about this, isn't there? In a performance, about 30 minutes is about right for us, and we've been a little longer lately. Whenever we have an interview, like with the right now with Erica, it's going to be longer than 30 minutes because she's almost a half an hour. But in general, when it's Jen and myself, 30 minutes is good for us. Keep up the energy. I think that's important. Remember, this is a show. I still get a little tingle in my gut every time I start to say, hello and welcome to episode number, I do.
Yeah, you have to keep it moving along because people get bored easily.
That's right. We have to keep the interaction if you are working with a partner, and I highly recommend that.
I do too.
Just a change in the voice. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation, isn't it? So keep that energy, keep the interaction with your partner, and do effective interviews. That means write down the questions, and in our case, we always offer, sometimes they don't take us up on it, but we always offer to submit the questions to the interviewees before they can have a look at it.
And so they come prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so, and then some they can add or change as they think. Next thing is publishing. Podomatic, iTunes, storage, bandwidth.
Talked about all that.
We just talked about that. I mean, you can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us on our wrinklenotdead.com blog.
Right.
I mean, it just...
On Podomatic,
some
on Podvine.
Some people are on Podbean.
Podbean.
Yeah.
Pod.
So you just kind of
potato,
have to go out there and learn. I think what Erica said is that you can take some free classes. You can go online. You can ask your children. You can ask your grandchildren.
Yeah, ask the kids. Ask your
What I liked about Erica is that she said, my parents helped me to get where I am today, and now I can help them learn this new format. I thought it was really cool. It's give and take.
I know. And she
really
was so
neat.
Sincere about that.
Yeah.
I know. It's great to flash back to that particular interview because it was so great. We really enjoyed it. So anyway, storage and bandwidth and all that stuff is kind of like the real estate of this business. So you got to know that's where people make money off of you as your publisher. But I have to say the Podomatic people have been great to us. Now, next. Oh, Lord, 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 here we go. Promoting. Wow. The list is almost endless, isn't it? Where you have to do this all the time. I know you select artwork for us all the time.
I do. I'm always looking at that. I actually find that fun. When I want some time off for myself, I love looking at artwork.
Yeah. I don't know where... You so refuse this, to give up your sources, so,
well,
too.
Well, this whole thing is not like work for us. This whole thing for me is enjoyable.
It is. Okay, so we have a list, and it's kind of like a checklist of things that we attack. Mm-hmm. And actually, we do it kind of on alternate days. If it's Facebook day, then we do this. If it's Instagram day, then Snapchat, LinkedIn. It goes on. Email blasts, which we have to address better. YouTube, Pinterest. I mean, what else? I mean,
there's your Facebook fan page you need to get.
We have that as well.
And it's really amazing. And then you really should, if you can, have a blog because many, all the things you talk about on your podcast, people want to learn more about. And
that's
so
true.
You can sort of have them read your blog and they can learn more about what you talked about and then go to links for that. We have special links. Or if
that's
you
true. So and sometimes we promote a product that we like and stuff like that. Like, remember Sport Tea was great and the dog food that we like is great. I know who I forgot. Twitter. What's banging
Twitter.
Twitter.
Yeah, there's
but
so many.
I'm not a big, huge Twitter.
But we'll, again, put this on our blog.
Sure, exactly. All right, so we're not boring you to death.
Consistency is a big one. We publish once a week, and some people publish once a month. Some people, a lot of the radio stations publish daily.
Yeah, those. This is something I learned a while back, is that often radio station personalities, they're just doing their regular program a couple hours a day, but the station publishes that immediately, so their content level is daily.
Daily.
This is their day job.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Well, that's fine, but we're not doing that, and I don't care to be playing accordion music during what we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We found once a week was great. We found when we got sick and we missed a week, which I said in our while we're talking to Erica, that our ratings went down, and we want to make sure that we keep people interested and engaged. And Gary Vee, one of the great social media people out there.
Gurus.
He's a guru.
Yeah, he actually is. Gary Vee. Yeah.
He said, if you want to do something for the rest of your life, don't quit after 4 months.
But he also said, though, if you're not getting anywhere after a year, give it up.
He did, but we are getting somewhere.
I know, we
Everybody always says, how do you monetize a podcast?
Yeah.
Well, it was really interesting because if you don't have ads on your podcast, that's one way to do it. You get work in other ways, like helping other people produce their podcasts. I mean, it's amazing the different kind of work that we got from our doing our podcast.
It's because it is a different world.
It is. It's a different world.
Don't expect things to continue the way they used to in your earlier life in business. It's not going to happen at all. Okay.
I think Gary Vee said one more thing. 99% of people advertise out of their era. Like you need to keep up.
Yeah,
daily.
You're advertising to 1997 2017.
You need to keep up to today. What's going on today? Be current today. That's why. And you guys, I just started really doing all the Instagram live stories.
You're liking it though.
I do. And the Instagram live stories will kind of give you a background of what everything's going on. And that's a big thing for advertising right now, I think, is going to be Instagram stories. Mm-hmm. The behind the scenes of Tide or the behind the scenes of this product or whatever, or a big company.
The
insider story.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, Gary Vee, thanks a lot, because you continue to be kind of a source of
an inspiration.
And to Lauren as well, and Michael, and also to Erica. All these guys pay attention to some of these. Like Tim Ferriss is another one. He's got like 80 trillion followers.
And the cool thing about it is, don't try to hide your product or don't try to hide your podcast. What you do is you invite other people, other podcasters on your show, and you go on their show. It's different from our era where you don't tell anybody anything. It's secret, so they don't steal. This is sharing.
Yeah, okay. I love your point here. So if I can follow up on it just for a second. I know we're trying to be, you know, right to the point because we have a fat show today. But nonetheless, if people ask me all the time, well, what is it? What do you mean? What's a podcast? And I say it's like having your own radio station, except that you're not really doing like the old days, the radio stations would compete against each other for ratings. And you said, no, we can't have that. Those guys are terrible over there at that station. And we're the best. No. You want to talk to that other station.
Exactly.
You want to have their audience be your audience. What is so dumb about that?
I think it's great. And that's how you grow. Because you know what? Now we're dealing with the world when you're doing a
that's
podcast.
Right.
You're not dealing with a local market.
Yeah. It's not 10 stations locally. It's 10 million.
Exactly.
So go ahead and get after it.
So good luck. Go to wrinklednotdead.com if you want more information.
I'll be filling it in, but give me a couple
And we'll
days.
Also have information for on Erica on how to reach her if you want to start a blog.
And she really knows what she's doing. She helped us design our logo.
Mm-hmm. Designed our logo.
Mm-hmm. Time off. All right.
This was a good one.
Boy, our friend Maggie knows stuff
about
this
stuff. Yeah, our friend Maggie Rayborn. She's wonderful.
Yeah, she knows all the great stuff to watch.
We watched a movie called Nocturnal Animals, and it was on HBO. It was produced last year in 2016.
Jake Gyllenhaal is in it.
Amy Adams,
who I didn't have the greatest appreciation for until this.
Oh, she was great. And Michael Shannon, and he's sort of he's a character actor he was in Boardwalk Empire and a bunch of stuff. He was so good.
But here's the kicker.
Yeah.
Who the heck wrote it, produced it, and directed it? But
Tom Ford, the designer.
Unbelievable.
And it is riveting. And I don't want to give much of it away, but
if you
have HBO, you can get it or get it on demand somewhere.
You can find it.
Or find it, rent it. It is so good. It keeps you, it's an edge of, it's a psychological thriller.
I know, but it's maybe because of his background or whatever. It's artistically, it's shot so well. It's just so...
And we were shocked because it was so good, and we're always
we're kind of plugged in.
And we really, I remember hearing about it, but this was the first time we ever actually saw it.
Yeah.
And that's unusual for us.
Okay, so all this work, we love the thing. It's the best movie nobody ever heard of kind of thing. Mm. It actually grossed $30 million worldwide. You know, that's not that great because it cost $22 million to make it.
I know. And it's so good. So you wonder, you know, your content has to be so good.
I know. And even when it is so ferociously wonderful, okay. It was.
I know. Gosh.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know. The standards keep going up, up, up.
People are subjective. What can you say? Okay. Okay. Remember. So anyway, one more time on the name of the movie is Nocturnal Animals. Remember when?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know what? I actually saw this on Facebook, and it was Remember When You Were Young, ladies out there, and you could get like these little books. They were paper, big, like gigantic paperback books, and they had cut out dolls. So you'd cut the doll out, and you'd have little outfits with the little tabs that you put around to put on the dolls, and you could change their outfits. Paper dolls.
Even though I didn't do that, I do remember that, though.
Yeah, and what reminded me about it was when Erica, during our interview, was talking about her and Lauren.
Yeah.
Kind of doing that when they were young. They did this paste. They did all these little kind of booklets where they would paste their favorite outfit, and they'd write about it. And that was kind of the beginnings of a blog for them.
Yeah, the electronic version of
exactly.
that became what blogging is
yeah.
about.
Yeah, and they would
and
write what
really
happened that day, and they'd take pictures of food or cut pictures of food out of magazines. So that was going way back, but going way, way back was the paper dolls for me.
I don't. When we talked about this, what's mine going to be? What's my remember when?
Yeah, what was your remember when?
My remember when was when a long time ago, growing up in Western Canada, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and in the winter, all the kids there play hockey, of course. Well, if you didn't have a rink, and if you were at the school ground, all you did have was the soccer field, and so come hell or high water, like minus 18 degrees, it doesn't matter, you're going out for your recess, and we take the soccer ball out there. Well, in about 5 minutes, the soccer ball got to be the soccer iceberg.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember getting flat in the face with this frozen soccer ball, broke my nose immediately, blood all over the place. The teacher came over and said, by the time we get you to the doctor, it'll have set anyway, so just let it go.
Oh, my God. Again, boys will be boys.
Boys will be
Meanwhile,
boys.
Meanwhile, girls are playing with paper dolls, cutout paper dolls, and boys are smashing their noses.
Smash in the face. Come on. All right, let's wrap this
All
up.
Right.
I've had a lot of fun, though, today. So.
So do you have a quote?
I do. One small positive blog post in the morning can change your whole day.
Actually, that's happened to me.
I know.
With Lauren and Erica's blog.
Yeah.
I love it.
I know. And we get people now send us stuff all the time. Friends of ours will send us quotes all the time now
on
a daily basis.
I know.
So it's cool.
It is cool.
It's wonderful. Okay. And so that would be one about blogging. And just because we had covered two territories today, I will do one on podcasting. Podcasts are music for the mind.
Ooh, I like that.
And I'm singing right now, baby.
You sure are.
Oh.
Well, I have one.
Werewolves of London. Sorry.
to blog equals to share, to connect, to create, to inspire.
Who said that?
That was the Gingerbread Gem.
Okay.
So you're connecting, you're creating, you're inspiring, you're sharing. Isn't that great?
It is great, actually.
It is wonderful. And of course, because this is two parts.
Okay, so what's your podcast quote?
This I love. A podcast is a great way to develop relationships with hard-to-reach people. The world is out there. Do the podcast. Go to all these different countries and say hi. Because remember, we weren't born yesterday.